Okay, before we start, I do have to make a confession. I was not here last week. I was playing hooky. I was running a race, the Twin Cities Marathon, and before you all pass judgment, there were many of you that were there too. I'm not going to name names, Sharon Decker, the Hallstroms, I know Zach and Renee, the Babble. Anyway, all you have to do is look on Facebook and see anybody who is proudly posting themselves in too short of shorts. Last Sunday, those were your fellow parishioners that chose not to be worshiping with you. But I was running the Twin Cities Marathon, and this marathon for me, well, for most people who run a marathon, the start of their training happens around 18 weeks beforehand, and there is a set training that happens that culminates in between 20 and a 22-mile run in training, and then you run. And so for most people, last Sunday was the culmination of that 18 weeks of training, but for me, not being quite as fast of a learner, it was the culmination of 3 years. Different places, different paces, right? And so for me, it was around 3 years ago that I decided that I was going to train for my first marathon. And I don't love running. I don't believe in this thing called runner's high. You know, that's like just really good marketing that doesn't turn out to be true. But I did all of this training, and I was very diligent. As a matter of fact, I did not miss one day of running for all 18 weeks. And I got to the day of the marathon, and it was a gorgeous day 3 years ago, and it's quite the experience. It's spiritual. All of the people coming together under this cause to cross this finish line in 26 stupid miles later. And man, my first 6, 7, 8 miles felt incredible. Now, I'm not a speedster. There are actually some speedsters in this church, but I am not one of them. I wasn't going to break any land speed records, but I was having a good run. And then it was around mile 8 or mile 9 that I had a tweak in my knee, and I was like, oh, that felt weird. And by about mile 10, it was starting to hurt. And my wife, she has 3 kids at this point, and she came to me, and she's like, hey, can I get you anything? And I'm like, I'm going to need my knee brace. And so she ran home or drove home while I was running, and by about mile 11 or 12, she brought my knee brace. And by the time she brought my knee brace, I think I was overcompensating so hard on that knee that I was like, man, my other knee is hurting, which, oh, you laugh, but I mean, I've got decades on these knees, and it's quite difficult. So I said, could you go get me another knee brace? And so by mile 13, now I've got one knee brace on in this knee and one knee brace on in this knee. And, you know, here's this tall, skinny dude with a beard and a man bun, it looking kind of crazy and definitely not having any fun by mile 13. And all of a sudden, I'm in so much pain that I literally cannot jog anymore. And so what do you do when you've trained for 18 straight weeks and you can't jog anymore? You skip. And I don't mean you leave the race. I mean, literally, I did this. And there was no pain. Now, there is no real research as to why a man with 2 aching knees can somehow skip. And if you had told me before then that I had the ability to skip the next 13 miles, I would have been like, that's just like, you know, speaking evangelistically, yeah, that face is what I thought. And so I am literally skipping for 13 straight miles. By the way, I can skip a 13-minute mile. That's what I do. I didn't know. And along the way on the race, people were like, man, that's awesome. And I think they thought I was cute, and I wasn't cute. I just said, this is all I got. And I crossed the finish line and felt pretty good. My wife was there, a little bit of tears hugging, and I looked at her and I said, you know, I got to do this again because my story's not going to end with me skipping. So the next year, as a matter of fact, I didn't even wait for the next year. The next day, I started running again, and I kept running every single day that year. And we got to about 18 weeks out, and my wife said, I think I'm going to run with you, which I thought was great because I love having my wife next to me. She's a great partner. She's a great storyteller. She's always smiling if you've ever seen her. She's like a little gazelle, which sometimes is frustrating. But anyway, so we trained the whole time, still never missing a day. Get to the day of the race, a little bit colder, right? That was a colder morning, but, you know, if you're a runner, you think it's nice running weather, whatever. So we start running, and it wasn't mile three, and I said, Candace, you will not believe this, but I just felt a tweak in my knee. And Candace starts, I do not understand why you're laughing at me. It was painful. And Candace, you know, my wife, name it, claim it, she's like, we bind that. She's praying and everything. I mean, people running by her had to be like, who's the Holy Ghost runner? But she's just praying over me. And her prayers worked for about 20 miles. And then apparently she's got about a 20-mile shelf life on her prayers because, hey, some of you only got 15 miles, so don't judge. All right, So Candace, at this point, I'm going slower and slower, and we hit this wall, which the wall sounds really nice. It's like the gateway to death and destruction. But we start running up this wall, and I'm hurting really bad, and we're going slower and slower, but my wife is like this, and she's like, no, I'm going to run with you. And I'm like, no, just go ahead. And she's like, no, we trained all the time. And finally, I literally pushed her back and said, just go run your race. And she's, zoom, just gone, right? And I finished the race, and the good news is I can run a little bit faster than skipping, cut about a half hour off of my time, but still, my wife and I at the end, tears, hugging, great accomplishment, and I looked at her, and she goes, are you going to do it again? Thank you, I appreciate that. You're barely at neutral. Okay, so she goes, are you going to have to do it again? And I'm like, I do not know. Yes. So I ran every day for the next year, every single day. Now this is three straight years of running. And last Sunday I ran and I didn't stop and I didn't get injured and I did get my PR, which I had no idea what that even meant. PR means your personal record. So I had a great run and a great finish for me. Now there was lots of people in front of me. I'm right in the middle of the pack, but I finished. So what started for most as an 18-week training for me took 3 years. But it was that process that actually shed so much light onto the scripture that we're going to be reading this morning, and maybe will help shed some light on where you're at and where your life intersects God's timeless word for you. And so we're going to go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, and in our program it says 4 to 14. I'm actually going to start at 7. Philippians 4, 7 through 14. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as lost for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Take a deep breath. If you're a literature person, you realize that's the longest run-on sentence you've ever read. It's one sentence. Not that I have already obtained this or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, this verse has been in my life since I can remember. I grew up in church, as many of us have, and some of us have not, but I grew up, and this is a good one, especially like children's church and youth group. This press on, you can kill it, you can win it, you can crush it, you can do it. And I read this verse, and I think of my spiritual journey, and I think of what I want it to be, and I read this verse, and I think of movies. I think of moments in movies, like Rudy, if you've ever seen Rudy, and he tries and tries and tries, and then he finally gets into the Notre Dame football game and scores a touchdown, I believe. Or I think of Les Mis, and I think of Marius, and him taking the stand against oppression and powering through the evil of that day. Or I think of Dead Poets Society and one unknowing leader stepping up on his desk and standing for what is right. Or I think of a battle scene like in Glory where everybody's down and somebody grabs the flag and takes the field or the hill and puts the flag and inspires everybody else. And I think of these epic moments or maybe the quintessential moment, Chariots of Fire. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Maybe Aaron could come up. Your voice was awesome in prayer. Dun, 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 dun. You know, that moment, and if you haven't seen it, you should see it. But I think of those types of moments, and I would read the scripture and go, I want to press on. I want to kill it. I want to crush it. But maybe that's not the totality of what Paul's talking about here. And maybe as we grow older and get some decades in our rearview mirror, we begin to see life is not crushing it all the time, but maybe we open ourselves up to other things that God could be saying through this. And in these verses where Paul tells us to press on, maybe if we better understand what he is actually telling us to press on towards and what that looks like, we would better understand how God's Spirit is talking to us in the very place that we are at this morning as individuals and as a church and as a nation. And so I just want to share three kind of bits of words from this text that have begun to help evolve and change not the meaning of the word, but maybe God's word is truly living and breathing and speaks to us at every place in life that we are at. And this is my prayer that his word would speak to you this morning. And so the first words are in view of, or I like to say in light of. It's a literary term. In light of basically means, hey, there's two things, and in light of this new information, this new variable, it's going to cast a shadow, or cast light, actually, on this other bit of information to help us understand it better. So in Paul is saying, in light of the surpassing goodness of knowing Jesus. And I love that Paul says the surpassing goodness of knowing Jesus, because Paul in Philippians is basically setting out his theology. And if you want to read something great this week, Philippians 2, 6 through 11 is a great poem. It's a poem of his theology. And Paul sometimes gets kind of boxed in as this kind of crusty theologian that says hard things all the time, but he has this beautiful theology of what knowing Jesus is. And so he's saying in light of knowing Jesus, not in light of having cognitive assent about God, but knowing Jesus, knowing him, not just following the rules, not just knowing about God, but knowing him, this personal relationship. It makes me think of I think 2007, the iPhone came out, right? And I remember seeing the commercials and didn't really have any really concept to understand. Their fingers were touching a screen and things were happening. It was the introduction of this thing called a smartphone that most of us in the room now have, but we couldn't wrap our mind around it. And I remember thinking, who's going to pay that kind of money for a toy? That's so ridiculous. We don't need that, right? And now all of a sudden, all of us are using these types of phones. And I can remember the first time my buddy got a phone, and he was the guy that always got the new technology. I'm like, let me see it. And I touched it and did this, and the picture got bigger, and it blew my mind. It blew my mind. So there's a difference between knowing that an iPhone's out there, and there's something about like actually interacting and engaging with it. And I'm sorry, but the difference between engaging with an iPhone and engaging with Jesus is far different, right? So it's just an illustration. But going from cognitive assent about God, about following the rules, about doing good, to knowing Jesus. And if we just landed there this morning, the reminder that it's not about how often you're in church, and it's not about how good you are or how many rules you follow, but what Paul is saying is there's this surpassing goodness of knowing Jesus, pursuing him. And he says, in light of this, then everything else is rubbish. Everything else is rubbish. Now, rubbish to me, I don't know if there are any English persons in the room, but I just think of a polished Englishman going, well, that's rubbish, you know, like a little old McDonald's wrapper in your car. But this is not what Paul's talking about with rubbish at all. And I will keep it PG-13, but the basic premise of what he was talking about was a burning pile of poop. Sorry, that's what he was talking about. In that day, in those communities, there was, on the outskirts of the community, there was literally an ongoing burning pile of feces amongst other things all put together. And if you can, well, you don't have to imagine it, but he's not being really polite and squared away here. He is saying, in light of knowing Jesus, everything else is burning feces. And he lists his pedigree. He lists his, he was very learned. He was from the right family. He was from the right vocation. He had all of these things. He was held in high esteem by lots of people. And he said, it's all burning pile of feces because he's so in love with this new thing of Jesus and knowing Jesus. And it says to us, like, what we have, no matter how good or how bad you are, no matter what your home looks like or your job or even your car, even if you're Minister Belton and you have that really cool little sports car, it's a burning feces or a little habanero Prius, right? Right? It's just burning feces. Now, he's not saying that your car and your stuff is that. He's saying in light of all of the things that you think are so good, in light of are nothing compared to knowing Jesus. And then the next words that just kind of, it's hard to wrap my mind around is the fellowship of suffering. The fellowship of suffering. First of all, I don't use the word fellowship very often. And secondly, I don't like getting together and suffering. That doesn't sound fun. So why is Paul bringing this up? In this text, he's saying, man, he is stepping towards the fellowship of suffering because he's so in love with Jesus that he says, I want to experience everything that you experience. And he knew Jesus experienced suffering, and it caused the greatest awakening on the planet. It changed everything. And he knows that his own suffering in jail has caused other people to come to the light, to come to Christ, to come to this new movement. So he's seeing that even though suffering hurts, he's seeing that, man, Jesus is so good. I want to put my life on top of his life and copy everything. And this morning, if you're suffering, I do not believe Paul's saying that God is authoring the suffering, but he is saying there is a path in that suffering that reveals the kingdom. There is a path in that suffering that causes your life to be even closer to what Christ went through, and in that you can have Christ be revealed not only in you, but through you to other people. Whatever the suffering. Now, Paul was talking about suffering specifically for his stance on being a Jesus follower, but throughout the New Testament, we see that there is a lot of kind of suffering. James talks about it and talks about that the suffering will beget perfection. And so whether you are going through economic suffering or relational suffering, or whether you're going through health suffering or job suffering or any kind of suffering, here's Paul saying that all of it, Jesus can be found there. And you can experience the surpassing goodness of knowing Jesus through this suffering. And not just your own suffering, but also the fellowship of suffering. Suffering with others. The Latin word for compassion comes from co-suffering. That we, as Christ followers, wherever you are at in your spiritual journey, we are called to co-suffer. So when Aaron calls us as a church to come and kneel on behalf of the pain in our congregation, in our city, for our brothers and sisters that look similar or different than us, for the things happening in Las Vegas or in Texas or in Florida or over on the Thai-Burmese border, in all of those places, we become, as a church, more like Christ when we choose to co-suffer, when we enter in, when we leave our place of comfort and walk alongside of somebody. And we look more like Christ when we are suffering and we are vulnerable enough to allow other people to come and kneel alongside of us, to co-suffer with us. In light of how great knowing Jesus is, I want to know everything, including how this current suffering can reveal the kingdom. And then finally, he says to press on. To press on. And I like that Paul, who sets a case for how good he is, for all of the things that he should, he goes, I haven't attained this thing. I'm pressing on. I am in process. And I like, again, that this pressing on doesn't have to be this epic moment of triumph, because not everybody feels the epic moment of triumph, whether they're at the end of an 18-week training program or 3 years, that triumph comes less and less, and pressing on is needed more and more. And we press on not to show God, but to know God. We press on towards Him. We don't press on to get the grade over the thing that we are doing. We don't press on to overcome a thing. We, Paul sets this up, press on to know Jesus. And whether you have been serving Christ for lots of years or this is a new concept that you're thinking about, to step towards Him makes all the difference. And that difference is there to meet you wherever you are at, whether you are crushing it in life or not. I have a buddy, and my buddy's story is so crazy, and there's not enough time to really tell, but let me just say, my buddy was homeless when he was in high school. His mom was on drugs. He ended up running away, living on a roof, homeless. He lived on the roof of his school. Nobody knew about it for 3 months. Then he ended up graduating from high school. Then he went to the Marines, and he got kicked out of the Marines. Then there was some drugs, some depression. He ends up at Bible college. He ends up being married, an entrepreneur, then a youth pastor. Then he had a youth group of over 500 people. And man, he is one of the most, if not the most gifted communicator outside of Pastor Will that I have ever met in my entire life. He is an incredible storyteller. And guess what? He's not always crushing it. I talked to him this week. And I want to just give you the words as we close with what he said. I'm running an ugly race. I'm running a race, and I don't know where the finish line is. I feel like I have a disadvantage in the race in comparison to the other runners. I feel like I'm hitting from the man's tees, and everybody else is hitting from the women's tees. That is not an oppressive statement. If you are not a golfer, they are at two different places, and the women's tees are closer. So he just feels like he's behind everybody all the time. It's okay if you have mental illness, which he does have. It's okay to say that you're losing sleep or that you're depressed or that you're tired. It's not okay to throw things and yell at my wife. I don't even feel like I belong in the race. I'm off work for another 17 days. It's the second time in 2 years I've had to take extended time off of work to figure this out. I'm using all the words to say that I'm proud of my steps, that I'm addressing my sickness, my illness, that I'm going to overcome this. But in tears, he looked at me and said, really, I'm just embarrassed by this. Most of us, if we're honest on a day-by-day basis, are not running our best race. Most of us are not pacing ourselves for our PR, our personal record. Most of us are trying to get one foot in front of the other on behalf of ourselves or behalf of other people. But I believe what Paul is reminding us is that the gospel specializes in people that aren't running their PR. I believe that the gospel specializes in right where you are at. I believe that the gospel in knowing Jesus is the goal, not how fast your race is, not how good you look, not if you have knee braces or a man bun, not if you're walking or skipping or running, but the fact that you are moving towards Jesus. I asked Jordan, I said, can I share your story? And he said, of course. And then I said, what do you want me to tell them? And he's like, you know those faucets that are like those motion sensor faucets? Some days I get up in the morning, and that's what I can do. That's my motion moving forward. Just enough energy to get the faucet on. Paul reminds us that's enough, that we press on, moving not to conquer what you're at right now, but moving on towards Jesus. So as the musicians come, I'm going to invite once again to this place, this response for over 100 years, that our motion to press on would be to come up and kneel and say, Jesus, I choose to find you. And that we're reminded by Paul that if we feel great and you are crushing it and if you are awesome, then we are called to co-suffer. And we are called to come and to stand in the place of those who are suffering, which is happening all over our city and all over our world, and for sure in this room. And so I am going to ask that you would not just wait and see if you feel like it, but I'm asking if you would do a show of support for those who may be hurting far more than you, and you would begin to move up here so that this would be a safe place full of people pressing on to Jesus as a community so that we all may know him and the surpassing goodness of his kingdom. Amen.